Hi, I'm Tony Rossi for the Christophers. Would you leave the comfort of your home in order to travel around the world with no money on a motorcycle to see if you could survive on the kindness of strangers? Well, Leon Logothetis did exactly that, and he'll be sharing his story today as we talk about his book, The Kindness Diaries, One Man's Quest to Ignite Goodwill and Transform Lives Around the World. Stay with us. Christopher Close-Up starts right now. Hello and welcome to Christopher Close-Up. I'm Tony Rossi, and my guest today is Leon Logothetis. Even though Leon was a successful TV host, producer, and author, he felt like his life was in a rut. Then one day, while walking down Hollywood Boulevard, he saw a homeless man holding a sign that said, "Kindness is the best medicine." That incident prompted Leon to go on the adventure of a lifetime. He decided to take his yellow motorcycle, which he dubbed Kindness One, and travel across the United States, Europe, India, Cambodia, Vietnam, Canada, and finally back to Los Angeles. The purpose was to see if he could survive on the kindness of strangers. That means he wouldn't be spending any money on food or hotels himself. Food and shelter would have to be provided by the people he met along the way. So how did Leon's little experiment go? Well, he chronicles his journey in the book, The Kindness Diaries, One Man's Quest to Ignite Goodwill and Transform Lives Around the World. To tell us more, I'm pleased to welcome to Christopher Close-Up, Leon Logothetis. Leon, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Now, you saw a homeless man on Hollywood Boulevard who was holding a sign that read, "Kindness is the best medicine," and that incident set you on this crazy, enlightening, fun journey around the world. Why did those five simple words provoke such a strong reaction in you?
You know, I had done a lot of traveling and a lot of adventures, and it was all about receiving kindness. Mm-hmm. And when I noticed that sign, it made me realize very powerfully that kindness is not a one-way street. It's a two-way street. And it was about giving as well as receiving. I wanted to travel around the world and to the best of my ability, give as much kindness as I could, and obviously receiving as well.
Sure, sure. Well, let me go into your background a little bit, because, I mean, your parents, you're right, were Greek immigrants. So I wonder, when they came to England, they immigrated, did they find kindness? Did they find hardship? A little bit of both?
I think it's always difficult when you're, you come from an immigrant background, because you come to a new society, a new way of life. But ultimately, yeah, you know, they did receive kindness, and that's really why we stayed for so long. And, you know, my brother is actually still living in London. I don't live there anymore, but mm-hmm. I still consider myself to be English.
Sure, sure. Well, I mean, you're writing this book about kindness. The people in your life who kind of set that example for you earlier in your life, not just on this trip, but the ones who really laid a foundation for it. Who were some of the people who gave you examples of kindness when you were growing up?
I would say that I had a teacher. Mm-hmm. She was actually an after school teacher who inspired me to believe in myself through her kindness, through her ability to kind of believe in me. That was one person who really inspired me. My parents were always telling us, you know, to be kind to the less fortunate and things like that. So it was a couple of people, but primarily my parents and also this one teacher who was a very important part of my life.
Right, right. I'm talking to Leon Logothetis. His book is The Kindness Diaries, One Man's Quest to Ignite Goodwill and Transform Lives Around the World. Now, you travel around the world on this yellow motorcycle called Kindness One, like Air Force One, and you're also going not taking any money for yourself. No, you're going to be begging, basically, or asking for gas, for food, for lodging. What made you really put away all the comforts of home, any security you could have? Like, you're flying without a net here, Leon.
Yes. You know, I think it all started because as a kid, I felt very disconnected.
Mm-hmm.
And I have done a couple of adventures where I took away all my money. And I took away all my money in order to be able to force myself to connect with people. Because when you have no money and you have to get from A to B, it's really through the connections that you meet that you are able to get to that destination.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really a social experiment to take myself out of my comfort zone and to connect myself with the rest of humanity.
Well, what was the reaction when you started telling people on the street what you were doing and the help that you needed? What kinds of reactions did you get?
I got lots of different reactions, some good, some not so good, some bad.
Mm-hmm.
but ultimately, you tend to find that one angel, let's call them, mm-hmm. who you can connect with and who is inspired by what you're doing, and you feel inspired by them, and they help. And that's really where the magic is. The magic is the power of human connection.
Sure, sure. Well, one of the angels you encountered, one of the first people you write about in the book, is a Scotchman named Willie who's now living in Colorado. And I really enjoyed his story. So I was wondering, tell us a little bit about him and why he is his story and he as a person resonated with you.
You know, he was a Scottish chap who had moved to Colorado. He used to work in the mines of England. And he had dedicated his life basically to kind acts. Mm-hmm. He was working in an old people's home. He was working in the suicide prevention hotline. And he offered to let me stay the night with him and his wife. And I stayed in the spare room. And he was just the epitome of kindness. And I was very, very saddened to hear that he wasn't going to be able to go to his son's wedding. Him and his wife didn't have the financial capacity to go to his son's wedding back in England. And because of his kindness and because of the way that he made me feel and the way that we connected, one of the aims of the journey that I took was to try and repay people's kindness without them knowing that their kindness would trigger my kindness.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very fortunate to be able to send them to their son's wedding. And I was actually going to go and visit them tomorrow, but mm-hmm. unfortunately, they're not going to be near where I am. We kind of messed up the date. So we stay close. We stay in contact. And it's just a man who embodies kindness and compassion and empathy and something that at times some of us need, not at times, more often than not we need,
yeah.
and we lack.
Right, right. Well, a lot of times the people who are givers are not used to accepting gifts in return. What was his reaction when you told him this great gift you're going to give him?
His reaction was he was in shock. he was in total shock.
Right.
So was his wife.
Right.
But they humbly accepted it, and they went to their son's wedding, and they sent me pictures, and it was all wonderful. So, again, I'm a big proponent of the power of human connection. And in so many ways, we turn on the news and it's all bad news.
Mm-hmm.
Yet there's so much more goodness around than we get to see. And Willie was someone who showed me how much goodness there really is out there.
I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close Up. I'm talking to Leon Logothetis about his book, The Kindness Diaries, One Man's Quest to Ignite Goodwill and Transform Lives Around the World. This is staying with Willie's story a little bit. You just mentioned the power of human connection. And I love the part of the story when he and his wife go to bring a birthday cake to their 96-year-old friend, Kay. And Willie says, "If we don't bring her cake, I'm afraid no one else will." What did meeting Kay and other seniors around the world teach you about society's attitude toward older people? How do we treat them and how should we be treating them?
You know, Kay was one of the highlights of the whole journey. And as you said, she was 96 years old, yet she had so much vigor, so much life inside her. And she was so grateful to Willie, to how Willie treated her and how Willie was her friend. And she said to me that she felt like she was part of the human race.
Yeah.
Because Willie was, being kind to her and showing her love. And, you know, young and old are just words, really. We just ultimately need to follow the road of compassion, follow the road of love and kindness. And it doesn't matter how old we are, how young we are, what race we are, where we live, how much money we have, how much money we don't have. Truly, we're the same. And sometimes we forget that. And it's easy to forget that in this super connected world where the information we receive daily is so much information. And we lose sight of that.
Right, right. Well, going back to what you said before about there's really more good stories out there than negative ones. This is a Catholic radio show, and basically I talk to people who are inspired by their faith to take positive action in the world. So I'm exposed to a lot of people who are using their faith to do good things. And even though when we hear about religion stories in the news, usually it's about the bad things going on. In your experience, are the people you met, were they more inspired to do positive things by their faith than negative?
Without a shadow of a doubt. Without a shadow of a doubt. I mean, you know, I didn't always get helped. Mostly people didn't help, and that's okay, because why would you help me? You don't mm-hmm. know me. I'm just coming up to you on the street. I have this vintage yellow motorbike, and there were no expectations. Mm-hmm. But primarily, when I did find help, it was from the heart. And I did meet, you know, people from all different types of faiths. I mm-hmm. met Christians, I met Catholics, I met Muslims, I met Hindus. And I found a lot of people that did rely on their religion in a very positive way, and specifically faith. And that was one thing that Willie kept saying to me. He's like, you know, this is an answer to prayer, and I've always lived my life through faith and things like that. So it was very moving.
So you are a person, you are very hopeful that all these divisions that we seem to have could be overcome if we just drop these preconceived notions we have about each other.
Look, I think absolutely yes. If we could do that, then things would be far better than they are today. But I don't consider myself to be Pollyannish in the sense that I know things aren't as simple as just like saying, okay, let's all love each other now.
Right, right.
Because the world is a difficult place. Mm-hmm. But primarily my experiences have been one of goodness and kindness and meeting people who truly are just humble and want to make the best of their lives. And if they can help anyone else along the journey, then wonderful.
Right, right. Well, one of the places you went to was Calcutta, and you went there because you wanted to see where Mother Teresa lived and where she started her journey. Why was she so important to you, finding out about her and her legacy?
You know, Mother Teresa was a quite extraordinary lady, and the help that she gave to the people of India, and specifically the people of Calcutta, was extraordinary. And I didn't really know too much about Mother Teresa, but what I did know was that she inspired me. Walking through the streets of India, you see tremendous poverty, mm-hmm. And you also see tremendous wealth. And the issue of poverty and wealth is that sometimes we look at someone who's in a poverty-stricken situation and we may look down on them. And sometimes we look at someone who's wealthy and we look up at them mm-hmm. and we laud them. Yet they're really, apart from the size of their wallets, there really is no difference. And that's what I've learned on my journeys. The true wealth is not in our wallets, but it's in our hearts. And I think that's what Mother Teresa epitomizes.
Right. Well, you say this as a person who, you know, back when you had a job where you were making a lot of money, you were working in the Beverly Hills of London, so to speak. What made you realize that money, making a lot of money, wasn't the answer?
Pain. Mm. I had money and I was in pain. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's easy for people to think, oh, if you have money, then you have no problems. From my personal experience, that's not true. And I suffered a lot of pain, and I realized that chasing the dollar sign wasn't the way for me to go. That doesn't mean that money isn't important. Mm-hmm. It is very important. But what is also important is the connections that we make with each other and the connections that ultimately we make with ourselves.
Right, right, right. I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close Up. I'm talking to Leon Logothetis about his book, The Kindness Diaries, One Man's Quest to Ignite Goodwill and Transform Lives Around the World. Leon traveled around the world, starting out in Los Angeles, went to New York, then to Europe, to Asia, on a yellow motorcycle he calls Kindness One, Kindness One, O-N-E, and he wanted to just live off the kindness of strangers to see if it was possible, and he proved that was a success. Now, one of the other people you met along the way, you slept on the streets of Pittsburgh at the invitation of a homeless man. I believe his name was Tony. Did you go into that with any preconceived notions about what it would be like?
Well, Tony was quite a very, very powerful story. It's one of the most meaningful stories for me of my whole journey. I had been walking around Pittsburgh, and unfortunately I couldn't find anywhere to stay, which, again, no expectations, so I understand. Mm-hmm. And I was walking in this park, and I went up to this chap, and I said, you know, can I stay in your house? So I explained what I was doing. And then he turned around and said to me, you know, Leon, at that time he didn't know my name. He's like, unfortunately, I'm homeless. At that mm-hmm. moment, I felt a tremendous amount of shame. I'm like, you know, Leon, you're doing this social experiment, and here's a homeless chap who's really living on the streets. Mm-hmm. But in the end, he offered to put me up for the night, which was basically to sleep next to him on the streets of Pittsburgh, to protect me. He fed me. He gave me some of his clothes. And it was one of the most powerful heart-opening experiences I've ever had, mm-hmm. because there I was sleeping on the streets next to this man who had nothing and basically gave me everything. And Tony was, I stay in touch with Tony, and Tony was one of the people that I felt fortunate enough to give a gift to. And the next morning I felt it in my heart. I felt I needed to help this man. So I set him up in an apartment, and I sent him back to school because he wanted to become a chef. So now he's learning how to become a chef.
Wow.
And actually, I spoke to him a couple of days ago. He's sending out resumes he's got an interview, actually, in the next couple of days with Outback Steakhouse.
All right.
So, yeah, and Tony says to me, Leon, you changed my life. But what he doesn't realize is that he changed my life.
Right, right.
Tony changed my life.
Well, it sounds like it's got to give you an incredibly warm feeling inside, like a real, I guess you feel a lot more accomplished doing what you're doing now than working in the office in London, which you were doing, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, I was inspired by books and by movies and by people that I met. And if I can inspire someone to live a better life and to be the best they can be, then that makes me feel good. And it gives me hope. And I enjoy doing that. And I enjoy traveling and I enjoy connecting and I enjoy being in the flow of humanity.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm here in New York, and we have a homeless problem here, obviously. And sometimes it comes to the point where you don't look at homeless people. You almost look through them or overlook them. What did your experience on the streets with Tony teach you about how we should look at the homeless in society?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. Sometimes, and I'm guilty of this as well, we overlook them. And they are the same as us. It just so happens that they don't have a place to stay.
Mm-hmm.
They are the same as us. It just so happens that they don't have as much of a big wallet as we do. And I think we do ourselves a disservice and we do them a disservice when we don't see them. I think it's critical for me, and this is just my opinion, the most important and most powerful thing is to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
I know that when I'm not seen, I don't feel good. And I know that Tony, during the time we spent with each other, he felt seen. I see you and you see me. I hear you and you hear me. That's a tremendously powerful aspect of being human, and most of us, or certainly the homeless, don't get the benefit of that.
Right, right. And it really comes down to the basic need to feel like you belong to someone and to feel loved and appreciated and respected and seen. So you gave that to a lot of people, so we applaud you for that.
Well, thank you for that, but they also gave it to me.
Right, right. I'm talking to Leon Logothetis. His book is The Kindness Diaries, One Man's Quest to Ignite Goodwill and Transform Lives Around the World. Now, the fact that you're asking for so much help wherever you go strikes me as an exercise in humility. Are you a naturally humble person, or did this journey help you grow in that respect?
You know, I think that pain can humble you,
mm-hmm.
and I would like to consider myself to be humble, and I think that doing a journey like this, as you say, does humble you. It's not easy to ask people for help. It really isn't. And there were times when I was like, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? And I'd get angry with myself and with people, and then I'd be like, well, hold on. You put yourself in this situation. You decided to do this. So it's not easy. It's not easy.
Yeah. Well, one of the other things I noticed in the book, and I'm looking it through the lens of Christianity, is, you know, as Christians, we're supposed to surrender our will to God's will because he knows best. But most of us tend to be control freaks, so we have a hard time doing that. And I noticed a lot of times your plans would go awry in the book and you would get upset, but then somehow something better wound up happening. So through that experience, have you learned to just kind of surrender a little more and trust that something good will happen, even if it seems to be a negative thing at first?
I would say yes, and I would say also that I'm still, even after having done this, a little bit of a control freak. I think many of us are.
Mm-hmm.
But I do realize, like, when I'm trying to control things, I'm like, you know, what are you doing? You can't control this. Something's either going to go well or it's going to go badly. If it goes well, great. If it goes badly, you'll find a solution. Something will happen.
Right.
Something good will happen or not, but you have to deal with it. Whatever life throws at you, just deal with it.
Right, right. Well, a lot of the, you did hit periods of things going wrong and darkness in your trip, and at the Christophers, who are the sponsors of the show, we use the motto, it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness. So when you hit those times of darkness on your journey, who or what picked up your spirits and got you moving back toward the light, toward a brighter future?
People.
People.
You know, people would always come out of the woodwork and help.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, in Vietnam, when I got stuck at the border, I was stuck at the border for quite some time, and they wouldn't give me my bike. They were citing some Vietnamese law that wouldn't allow yellow motorbikes into the country.
Really?
And, really. And I ended up having to go to the American embassy,
mm-hmm.
And asking for help. And they helped. Now, the American embassy have far better things to do than help an Englishman get his bike into Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
But I told them my story, and I just said, look, this is what's happening. This is what's happened. Please help me. And they did. So, and also, you know, it's also about where there's a will, there's a way.
Mm-hmm.
I could have given up many, many times, Vietnam being one of them, because they wanted to send the bike back to Cambodia.
Right.
But I was like, no, I'm not gonna give up. I didn't travel nearly 5 months for you to send me back to Cambodia.
Right. Right. Well, no, one of the things you also point out in the book is a lot of us wear masks, and you point out at one point that you used your sense of humor as a mask at one time because of your fear of failure. But I got the impression that your sense of humor helped you connect with the people that you were meeting. So do you think the masks we wear can sometimes lead to a positive outcome?
Definitely. Sometimes masks are negative,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes masks, if used correctly, can help. And you're right, I did use my humor mask to kind of mask my pain.
Mm-hmm.
But now I've started to use my humor mask to connect. And one thing I find is that we don't connect with people because there's this, you know, that people talk about the icebreaker situation, like where's the icebreaker? Well, one way to have an icebreaker is just to be a little bit funny,
mm-hmm.
If you can be. Like, you know, some people think I'm not funny. A lot of my ex-girlfriends think I'm not funny. But any way you can find to connect and to you know, really be connected with someone, use it, as long as it's not hurtful to anyone.
Sure, sure. I'm talking to Leon Logothetis. His book is The Kindness Diaries, One Man's Quest to Ignite Goodwill and Transform Lives Around the World. One of the places you visited was Cambodia, where 2 million people were executed in the 70s under the leader Pol Pot. In the wake of that kind of violence and man's inhumanity to man, how do you work that out in your mind? Because at one point you have the kindness making all these great changes and affecting people's lives, but you also have this history of violence. How do you work the coexistence of these two things out in your head?
That's an excellent question, and I have goosebumps when you mention Cambodia, because Cambodia was one of the most inspiring places in the sense that the people were very lovely. They have some unbelievable monuments, Angkor Wat specifically. But then you go to the killing fields.
Mm.
And it's just, it's beyond comprehension. I've spent time in Auschwitz, and the killing fields are on the same level.
Mm-hmm.
It's just incredibly evil.
Mm-hmm.
And your question about how do you deal with the kindness and the evil, you know, I guess where there's darkness, there's also light.
Mm-hmm.
And, if everyone was kind and loving and everything was going according to plan, one wouldn't truly appreciate the kindness. I don't know. Sometimes it's, you can't even fathom it. It's just like there was a tree called the Killing Tree where the Khmer Rouge used to take babies and literally, you know, kill them against this tree. And how do you put your mind around that?
Yeah.
How does a Westerner put his mind around that?
Yeah.
It's just sometimes maybe things are just beyond us, because
mm-hmm.
that's just, evil isn't even the right word for that.
Right. How did the people of Cambodia that you met, are they recovering from that kind of evil? I mean, it's in the somewhat distant past now, but yet, like you said, it still lingers. Is kindness and love, has that come to the fore more often now?
Oh, definitely. It definitely has. I mean, I didn't spend too much time in Cambodia, but the people that I did meet, again, were wonderfully kind. those that helped and those that didn't, again, no expectations. But there was a sense of moving on from that horrific time mm-hmm. without forgetting that. Like in Auschwitz, they've made monuments, they've made museums. You can forgive, but you should never forget.
Right, right. Makes perfect sense. Well, now that your trip is over, how are you continuing this goal of encouraging kindness to people all over?
Well, as you mentioned, I'm on this book tour, and I finished a book tour in a couple of days. My aim is always to continue my adventures and to continue trying to the best of my ability to inspire people to be the best they can be, to live their dreams. And kindness, doesn't have to be a grand expedition like traveling around the world on a yellow motorbike. That's mm-hmm. just one form of kindness. Kindness can simply be saying, have a happy day to a barista at Starbucks. Mm-hmm. It's a spectrum. You have the small acts and you have the big acts, mm-hmm. but it's a way of life. It's a smile when you check into a hotel. It's a good day to someone you see on the street. Little things like that go a long way.
I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close-Up, and I have been talking to Leon Logothetis about his book, The Kindness Diaries, One Man's Quest to Ignite Goodwill and Transform Lives Around the World. Leon really proved during his trip, and you're going to read about it in this book, that people respond to kindness. Maybe not everybody, but a lot of people do. I think it's in our basic human nature to love others, to welcome others, to be kind to others. And in turn, that changes not only them, but it changes ourselves. And Leon ends this book a different man than when he began it. So I encourage you to pick up The Kindness Diaries by Leon Logothetis. And Leon, thanks so much for sharing your story, for writing your book, and for doing all the wonderful things for the people you met along the way.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Now, before we end today's show, here's a message the Christophers would like to share with you.
Though making friends on social media is popular nowadays, real-world relationships are vital to your spiritual well-being. You need to establish friendships that go beyond superficial interests, ones that create bonds to touch your soul. That's why the Christophers have prepared a news note called Building Spiritual Friendships. It shares vital insights about finding companions for your spiritual journey who will stick with you through highs and lows, good times and bad, from here to eternity. To request your free copy of Building Spiritual Friendships, send an email to radio@christophers.org or call our toll-free number at 1-888-298-4050. We look forward to hearing from you.
In closing, I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in today, and I encourage you to visit our website at christophers.org to learn more about the Christophers and to download free literature and podcasts. When you're there, you can also find links to our blog on our Facebook and Twitter pages. And if you have any questions or comments about the show, you can send an email to radio@christophers.org. Our engineers for today's show are Charlie Actor and Brian Bonifacio, and I'm Tony Rossi, your host. Thanks again for joining us, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.